So anyway, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit today. And it goes back to Jesus. Well, it really goes back to Genesis, where the Holy Spirit, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they are one. We're talking about the Trinity here. And so God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when you accept Jesus as your Savior, a little Jesus doesn't come in your heart. The Holy Spirit comes in your heart and begins to work in your life. And the neat thing that he does is he begins to conform us into the image of his dear of God's dear Son, Jesus. So you get to start school immediately after salvation. And the Holy Spirit is so patient and kind and long-suffering. He never gives up. Doesn't matter what you do, he keeps on working in your life unless you say, you know, I'm through with this, I'm out. I don't want any more of this. But he's going to go everywhere he can. He's going to work in your life. He's going to draw himself to you because he wants to conform you. And guess when we graduate? When we get to heaven. And that's pretty neat. Amen. Amen. So from what I understand, the scripture says the moment in a blink of an eye, we're in the presence of the Lord. So if you have loved ones that have went on, they're with Jesus, and they were there instantly with Jesus. No, whatever, you know, long tunnels or whatever. They were with Jesus, and that is such a wonderful, wonderful promise, especially as you get older. God is there, amen. God is there working in our lives. So we see Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, obviously, but we're going to settle in on Luke. Jesus, there's John the Baptist has come on the scene, and he's preaching repentance, and he's baptizing people, and they're saying, are you the one? Are you the one we're waiting for? And he says, no, there's another one that's coming, and I'm not even worthy to unlatch his sandals. And here comes Jesus on the scene. Isn't it wonderful when Jesus shows up? Isn't it wonderful when God does a suddenly in your life? And suddenly God was there, and wow, it's so awesome. But God was there all the time working. And so we see that Jesus said let me find this really quick. I'll just go to the bulletin. I'll stick to the bulletin. Okay, so anyway, the people were in expectation. The reason was John the one. He says, no, there's another coming. And Jesus comes. And it says that, let's jump down to the 21st verse down here. It says, and when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heavens was open, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove unto him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that what we want God to say to us? In you I am well pleased. And I want God to say that about me. I want him to say, you're my daughter. I am well pleased. And so, Lord, we thank you that we can come to that place where we can do this. And I want us to pray right now because I feel like there's some hindrances. And, Lord, I thank you. I speak peace into this service today. I speak peace around us. Lord, I'm just going to pray right now for the peace of Jerusalem. It says to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for Israel. Lord, I know that you love all people. Lord, I know you love the Palestinian people. I know that you love the Israelis. And Lord, I thank you that there can be peace. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just speak peace over that area. We speak peace into this house. We speak peace into individuals. And we just rest in you today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So immediately what happens after that is Jesus is baptized. The Holy Spirit comes down. And immediately in Luke 4:1, it said that Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So the Spirit immediately leads Jesus into temptation, which is something. Amen. So sometimes we wonder, God, why are you allowing us to be tested? Why are you allowing us to go through this? Because God is working on the full picture. We only see a little bit, but he's working on a lifetime here. He's working on eternity here. So many things we go through is not only for ourselves, but each other, for the body, for the world, to see how we are reacting to things. How are we as Christians reacting? Are we showing the world that we love each other? Are we showing the world that there is a better way, and the better way is Jesus? That's our purpose. So let's do that, folks. Let's really work at that. So anyway, Jesus is in the desert for 40 days being tempted. And we know how he's tempted, and I won't go through all of that. But in the end of it all, it says right here, Luke 4:14, then Jesus, after his temptation, after the 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, the Holy Spirit leads him out in the Spirit. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding regions. So he's led by the Spirit, but he comes out in the power. And that's what we want, folks. We have to have the power to survive today. We need God's power working in our lives. Amen. And so how are we going to do that? You know, we're just people down here, and life is tough. Amen. But anyway, listen to Romans 8, 11 and 12. It says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, but to the Spirit. But anyway, it says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead it dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead and dwells in us shall quicken our mortal bodies. So there is a quickening that goes on in our bodies. And so, guys, I want you to go back to when Jesus was in that grave. I want you to just close your eyes. Let's close our eyes right now. I want you to see that tomb. I want you to see it's been 3 days. Jesus is in that tomb for 3 days. And at the end of that 3 days, on Easter morning, resurrection morning, the Holy Spirit comes into him. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead indwells you and it shall quicken. The Holy Spirit came, and he came out of that grave. He came out of that grave. I want you guys to see that in your eye, your mind's eye. He came out of that grave. So that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead indwells us, and it shall quicken our mortal body. What is going to keep us going? The quickening of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead indwells you and shall quicken your mortal body. So who's going to help us through this journey? The Holy Spirit and Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, and Jesus says in that period, he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So how can we walk in the Spirit? How can we manifest the Word? How can we do these things? Because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And it's the Holy Spirit who gives us the strength to go on. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the unction. The Holy Spirit that encourages us. The Holy Spirit is always at work. Isn't that wonderful? And Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. You're going to do these things, but I'm going to be right there with you. I'm not going to leave you. You're not doing this on your own. You're doing it through me, the Holy Spirit. So God has got great things planned for us. Amen. And so the Lord has been dealing with me a while before Pentecost Sunday about the working of the Holy Spirit and how God wants the gifts working in our life. Now, he also wants the fruit working in our life. And so I'm just going to read this. It's not in your bulletin. But so anyway, it says the fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians 5:16 and 17. So I'm going to list these fruits. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Let us also walk in the Spirit. So when we accept Jesus as our Savior, and the Holy Spirit comes in and he begins to work in our lives, he begins to produce these in our life. And he wants us to have joy. Even in today, he wants us to have joy today. He wants us to walk in long suffering. Or who wants to suffer a long time? God is so good. Peace. Do we not need peace in this world today? Oh my goodness, do we need peace? Goodness, kindness. We need these working in our lives. So the world sees that. It says there is hope. There is hope. There is goodness. There's kindness. There's faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We were talking about self-control and study on, I think it was last Wednesday, or maybe the Wednesday before, we were talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And the Lord really had convicted me about my lack of self-control, especially when it comes to eating, especially when it comes to eating chocolate. And my kids say, oh, Grandma loves chocolate, just buy her some more chocolate. So I'm, you know, so anyway, the Lord told me, you can, yes, it's their fault. That's right. So anyway, it was like the Lord really convicted me about the fruit of self-control. Where is it in my life? And I think this is true to a lot of us Americans. We have it so good. We have the choice of this or that or the other. And sometimes we indulge too much. But God wants us to have self-control in our life. Because we might be put in a position where we will have to use it. See, all of these fruits are for our benefit, so when we need them, they'll be there working in our life. So part of what the Holy Spirit does is He's working to bring the fruit of the Spirit in reality into our life, working out in our life and in our day-to-day walk. Are we kind to each other? You know, sometimes it would just be good if we were kind to each other. Then maybe we could love each other. But sometimes we're just mean and ornery. And I apologize. And sometimes I say things I shouldn't. And I do blame it on my old age. It's so neat, guys. When you get old, you can blame everything on it. Amen. My grandmother lived to be 105. And she said, yes, you can be ornery too. But anyway, my grandmother said she lived to be 105. And she said it can go either way. If you want to do it, you're still young enough to do it. But if you don't want to do it, you're too old to do it. And now that I've said that, my kids won't accept that anymore. I've entrapped myself right here. But anyway, God is moving. But the second thing God has really been dealing with me on is the gifts of the Spirit. God wants us to, the gifts to be working in an outward way in our life. And I'm going to give you some for instances, but first we're going to read about it. And we can read it right here in the back of our bulletin, or we can read it up here, wherever it's at. Wherever it's at. We're now at Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, Rick. Rick is such a blessing. I tell you, I called him up last night because, see, I normally don't do this, and Paul does it. So I called him up and I said, and I can't do the computer thing. I'm just not that smart. I'm illiterate almost. So anyway, I said, so he took all these scriptures down so he could put them all on the computer for me. And so anyway, but okay, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, we are there. It says, okay, but let's back up a little bit. Let's back up to Acts 2, 1 and 4. I'm sorry, Rick. This is your day to, the fruit of the Spirit is being produced in Rick's life right now as we speak. and he's not going to walk. Oh, well, we thank you, Lord, that Rick's ears are healed in Jesus' name. Okay, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then the second, Acts 2, 38, 39. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to who all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God calls. And this is such an awesome scripture. I want to read it again. It says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God calls. In other words, this scripture is being fulfilled today. As many are as far off, we are that far off group, guys, that he was preaching about way back then. And God had it prepared for us. It is prepared for us. Amen. So we can receive the same Holy Spirit and do receive the same Holy Spirit that the disciples received on Pentecost Sunday. Isn't that awesome? And God wants us to walk in this. Amen. And God wants to show the world that there is something different about us. And we need the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit working in our lives. And I really feel a stirring in my spirit. A while back, I felt that we as a church were going through intense, not necessarily temptation, but the enemy was really out to steal, kill, and destroy. And then, you know, it just seems like so many people were going through so many hard trials just at one time. And when that happens, folks, we have to really, I am putting Dave to sleep as we speak. Oh, this is really funny. Way back when, we had one of our ladies, she was a nurse and she worked the night shift. And then we had this other little lady that was in her late 80s, early 90s. And bless her heart, Evelyn would work all night and come to church on Sunday morning. But she would fall asleep and she would start snoring. And, you know, and then we had this other sweet saint that was in her late 80s, early 90s, and she would just fall asleep. And one time Fred was out evangelizing, and he calls him and he says, "You're going to have to preach. I can't make it home." And I said, "Are you kidding?" He said, "Oh, they love you. They'll be glad." I said, "That's not the point. I know they love me, but do they want to listen to me? That's, you know, that's the question." And, but anyway, so I'm doing my best, and Sister Maybell is snoring, and Evelyn is asleep, and I'm thinking, God, if I could record this, I could make a lot of money. Whatever I do, and it's working. I'm putting people to sleep like crazy. But anyway, I'm thinking, oh God. Yeah, almost that far back. But anyway, we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. God really wants those active in our life. And I'm sorry, guys. Dana remembers those days. They were good. They were good. And the people were very long-suffering, and they did love me and survived the whole thing. So anyway, back to 1 Corinthians 12, 1-11. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led, therefore I make known to you that no one speaks by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all." That, I'm losing my place here, I'm sorry. I should have got somebody else to read this. Okay, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, for the profit of all. Amen. But to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. In other words, you might want the gifts of ministry, but God might want you to have the gift of discernment. And guess who wins? Jesus does. Amen. He decides what gifts you will have. And you can have more than one gift working in your life at the same time. And we'll need more than one gift working at the same time. And God will do that because he wants to build up the body. He wants the body to be ministered to as is needed. But all the gifts should be working in every body. Amen. Does everybody, that is true. So if you need the gifts of healings to be working, that person can be healed. If you need miracles, that miracle will take place. If you need prophecy, God will tell you what the future holds for you. God will speak to that person and will give you a word of knowledge for the benefit of the whole body. Because if we're all working together, if we're all on the same page, if we're all healthy in the Holy Spirit, see how that's going to bless the whole body? And then we can go out in the world and we can minister to the world. Yesterday, I work part-time a few hours a week for Council on Aging, and we work out at Christ United Methodist Church here in Milton. And once a month, they give a food giveaway. And so I didn't have anything going yesterday, and I always feel guilty if I don't do it because I really feel like there's no reason why I shouldn't. So I had asked the secretary, "Well, how's the volunteer? Well, we're sort of short." I said, "Okay, put me down." And of course, Sandy loves doing this. This is Sandy's. She's just crazy about doing this. As a matter of fact, her granddaughter had a soccer game, and she said, "Well, I can watch her next week. I'll come help." I said, "Sandy, just come afterwards." "No, no." So she's out there. So anyway, we do our thing. I finally get her out of there so we can get over here because we need to do something over here. So anyway, they give us food as we're leaving. So we get down here and this little couple comes up to our pantry, and we ask them, do they need some food? And they do need some food. So we give them food. We end up by giving them our food too. But anyway, I asked him, I said, "Do you need prayer?" And she said, "Oh, yes, I had a stroke, and he had a stroke and a heart attack." So we're able to pray for them. And then we were talking to someone else, and we said, "Do you need some food?" And they said, "Oh, yeah, we do need some food." So we're able to give the rest of our food away. But anyway, then we asked him, "Do you need prayer?" "Yes, I do need prayer." And so we were able to minister to them, not only need as far as physically meeting their need, but we're able to pray for them, you know, about their health conditions. And so the Lord opened a door there to be to use in ministry. And the Lord, that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants us to be, and I want to bring out that if the Lord does give you an unction to pray for somebody that you don't know, you're not familiar with, if possible, as the Lord leads you, don't make it a real long prayer. Because, first of all, you put them on the spot, and they might feel obligated to let you pray, but they might also be a little nervous. So just follow the leading of the Lord. But if they need to be healing, just pray, you know, in Jesus' name. You know, I always ask, you know, what is the need? Is there a specific need? I might, you know, they like the lady that had the stroke and her husband had a stroke and a heart attack. So I knew what to pray about. The other lady had a shoulder problem, so we were able. So ask them, you know, if there's a need, can I pray for you? What is the need, if possible? And then pray specifically for that need. And then if the Lord leads you to do something else, you can do it. But so I just wanted to share that. So God will open the door because there's so many people that have so many needs. Amen. So I was also I wanted to bring out a couple of things. How am I doing on time wise? Oh, I'm doing so good. Amen. So anyway, I wanted to talk about a couple of things the Lord showed me through the years about listening to the Lord. And I am far from perfect. I've probably missed God 1,000 times at least. The first time the Lord spoke to my heart, and I've told all this story before, but if you're new, you might. When my husband got saved, he was an alcoholic. He got saved. He started ministering. God opened a door for him to minister at Skid Row Mission in Seattle, Washington. And I was very much against, I didn't mind him going, but on Friday night after I worked all week, I had four little kids, we all go down to the Skid Row Mission. When my husband had been an alcoholic, I did not want to go down to a Skid Row Mission where all the people were alcoholics. But he did, and he thought, you know, as a matter of fact, he was got so excited about it, he said, I'm never going to go back to work. He got laid off. Everybody got laid off. Bowen lost all their contracts. Thousands of people were laid off in the Seattle area. And so he said, well, I'm never going to go back to work. I'm just going to save all the bums down in Skid Row. And I thought, oh, God, how are we going to live? But the neat thing, and I want to share this too, is the Lord, and I thought Brother Short, the guy that ran the ministry, well, first of all, Fred said, I don't want to say God missed it, but considering I just got saved and I hardly know John 3:16, I don't think God really wants me down on this Skid Row Mission ministry. Oh yeah, this is God. And it was God. Fred went down there. God showed us so many things. But also, Brother Short, the nights that we had the mission, we had to provide the food. And here, I'm the only one working. I'm a clerk. And you know, Fred said, we got to feed these people. Well, we didn't feed them steak, but we did feed them. So the Lord spoke to my husband's heart and said, if you feed these men first, you will never go hungry. And we did, and we never went hungry. And so isn't God good? And isn't God good? So, but, you know, yeah. But the reason I brought that out is that sometimes what God asks is a little difficult, but if you do what God asks, he will take care of the rest. So anyway, we're down there at Skid Row, and every Friday night, Fred insists that I go down there. So we fought all the way down there. Have you ever done that? And then we get out, you know, and we're happy, happy, and then we fight all the way home because I don't like this, you know. So one Sunday morning, I'm sitting in my pew in my church, and I love my church, and I love sitting right there, and all is well in my kingdom, and God speaks to my heart, and he says, I love them. Well, I know John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. So I know God loves everybody, but God says, no, I love them. And I thought, God, what are you saying? I'm not used to you hearing this. It's like an inner thing. And God says, I love them. And all of a sudden, I understood that it didn't matter if you were on Skid Row or you were the president or the queen or whoever you were, God loved you. Unconditional, just as you were. No strings attached. And that he loves. And I think if we could understand God's love, I think that if the world could understand God's love, it would change the world. Because what more do you want than that love? And we can barely believe it, but it's true, people. God loves you. God loves you. He loves you because he made you. You are so precious in his sight. So if you guys, I mean, believe that God loves you. So it changed my whole life because I said, wow, God loves them. So So the next time I went down to Skid Row, I totally saw them in a different light. I saw them as somebody that did just whatever happened, they were there, but that's not where God wanted them. And occasionally, one would get saved and set free, and it was worth it all. It was worth it all. That one person, I remember, there was, and a lot of Indians would end up in Skid Row, and they would come off the reservations, and they couldn't handle, I guess, the whatever, and they would end up in Skid Row, alcoholics. And there was this one young Indian guy that Fred led to the Lord, and he was so proud of him, and all of a sudden he was missing. And Fred's trying to find this guy because what's happened to him? And several months later, he shows up, and he's in Alaska. He got saved. He went on a fishing trip, you know, they fish for up in Alaska. And he got on a boat, got saved, and he came back, and he was in Seattle. He said, I just wanted to tell you, I'm okay. I'm saved. And it's so neat. And he said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So as we hear the unction of the Lord, if you know, follow that. Follow that still small voice because it's God speaking. So God began to open my eyes as in Seattle. I was working as a clerk downtown Seattle. And first of all, I asked God, I said, should I go to work? I have four little children. Should I go to work? Everybody works. I should go to work. So I asked God, I said, should I go to work? God said, no, don't go to work. I went to work because why wouldn't I, you know? Amazingly, God began to show me really neat things, even though that wasn't God's best for me. God began to show me these things, these things that he wanted me to know about life, and showed me that my little world wasn't the only world, that there was a bigger world out there. I wasn't the only person that had suffered in this world, and I wouldn't be the last, and to get my life together and stuff. But it was really weird because during this time, I got laid off, and another lady got laid off, and we were the only two people that got laid off. In a week, they called us back to work. Well, since we were both laid off together, we didn't work even worked in the same department, but didn't really see each other. We decided to go across the street and have a cup of hot tea together. And I can't even remember her name, but she immediately began to tell her life story to me. And the story was she was Jewish. And they had left wherever they had left from, Poland. I'll say Poland, one of the European countries. They had left just before Hitler took over. And so they had gotten out. So there was her and her husband and her daughter. After the war, they thought they had lost all their family. But they found out there was a brother and a wife and a daughter that was left. And so they got them over to the States. They brought them over to the States. So now there was the six of them in all the world. There were six people of their family. So during this time, so they prospered. They got in the cleaning business in central area of Seattle. They had a good business going. They were happy. And during this time, it was the time of segregation. And even though Seattle was, I mean, everybody gets along great in Seattle. There's so much diversity there. And it wasn't like there was this black community in Oriental. We were all together. We were all just one big city. But they rioted. And Paul, and at the time, Fred was working in Everett, and he said as he came into Seattle, it looked like the whole city was on fire. But it was really just this one area. And their business was burnt down. The two brothers, their business was burnt down. And they lost everything. It wasn't insured or whatever. They didn't insure against riots. Both brothers died within a matter of weeks. One died of a heart attack. The other one died. And so then there was only the four of them left. And as she was sitting there telling me her story, God would speak to my heart, and I began to realize the suffering of the world was so massive compared to my suffering, my little world, that it enlarged my whole view of the world. And looking back, I really felt like God had put this woman in my path for this very thing, that I would understand that my suffering was nothing compared to what other people had suffering. And I needed to, you know, I needed to show love and compassion to that world. But I was so grateful for her suffering, but her story, because it changed my whole life. And see how God can put people, and I believe that was the working of the Holy Spirit, how God can put people in your path that you will never probably see again, but will implant something in your life that will change your whole attitude. That as you work, as you go out into the world, God can use you to minister to others because you see them as different. You see them as somebody that God loves, but somebody that has really suffered. I wanted to share a couple of more things that we need to be alert to hear the voice of the Lord, because there could be that person that needs to be ministered to, and God has put you in their path. And I know I've missed it so often, and I pray all the time, God, give me an ear to hear what you're saying. And this is where the gifts come in. As God wills, God wants to use us. And some people, this is really natural to God. You just flow in it. But other people, it's really difficult. And God really wants us to work. And God, what is my gift? Where do you want me to be? Do you want me to minister to this person? Do I need to do this? And God will open your ears because he wants you to be used. He wants to use you. It doesn't matter if you're young or you're old, God, or in between, God wants to use us. And so listen to the voice of the Lord. Monday night, I want to share this. Well, this is going to be sort of difficult, but I want to share it anyway, that occasionally I do hear the voice of God, and I'm so grateful when I do. Last July, my oldest grandson was killed, and he had come to my house. It was really the Lord, because it was so just the goodness of God, because Tommy had just gotten out of jail, and for not anything, he'd just gotten out of jail, and he shows up at my door, which, he had to walk, so it was a ways. And I was really tired. As a matter of fact, we had had the baptismal services down at the river, and I was really tired, and he came in, and I hugged him and told him how glad I was to see him. And I told him, I said, Tommy, I'm so tired. I said, if you're going to be here for a while, will you just let Grandma go take a half-hour nap? I'm so tired. He said, no, go ahead, Grandma. I'm waiting for a ride down to the basin to go swimming. And he, so I laid down, and almost immediately the Holy Spirit told me, get up and go visit with Tommy. And I did. I got up, and I visited with him. And he told me, he said, I've been reading the Bible, Grandma. I've been into these books, and my life is going to be changed. I'm going to go down, and we're going to swim, and I'm going to go back to work. And he was just, just so happy. And then a couple of days, and he did a drive. One of his friends came, picked him up, and off they went to the basin, I thought, to go swimming. And anyway, a couple of days later, my granddaughter calls up and says, Tommy's missing. And I said, how can he be missing? He was just here. But the goodness of God is that, Tommy was able to come by and see me, and I had that assurance that Tommy was okay. They found him, as all of you know, later. But, I just appreciate God doing that so much, that I had that time with Tommy, and I have that memory that he's okay. I don't understand why it had to happen. I don't understand it, but I understand that God is in control, and I trust him to take care of this whole situation. And please, please be praying for my granddaughter, Beth, because she's had a horrible time. But see, the Lord, and I've often thought, what if I just didn't listen and just slept through the whole thing and got up and Tommy was gone? So I'm so grateful. See how good God is? Amen. I think that I'll apologize to Stevie. I want to mention something about Stevie, but I don't think he would mind me sharing this. Bless his heart. All my grandsons grandchildren are just, they're special. Amen. They're all perfect in all their ways. Amen. Amen. Perfect in all their ways. Well, anyway, Stevie had some problems as a young teenager and young adult. And he called me up one day after my husband had died, and he told me, he said, Grandma, I don't have anywhere to go. Will you take me in? Well, when somebody out there tells you that their parents won't let them come in, it's because the parents have done all they could do. They're like, have just at the end, they have nothing left. They've given it all. And I really prayed about it, and it was like the Lord said, yes, take him in, take him in. Well, my husband had diligently prayed for Stevie so many years. I remember Brother Sammy said, every time I come into town, we pray for Stevie. That's the first thing, got to pray for Stevie. Well, the Lord just told me, spoke to my heart, that this was God's timing. And there is a timing in God. So anyway, I took, Stevie came, moved in with me. I had 10,000 rules. And he was willing. He submitted. And Paul took him to a couple of revival meetings that was going on at the time that was really powerful. And it was just God's timing. Stevie totally turned his life around. And, you know, God told me to do that. Thank you, Jesus. And today he has his own business. He's a businessman. He just, you know, he did do one thing he promised me he'd never do. He moved to Alabama. And, you know, I'm teasing. But I'm so proud of him. But, amen. He said, I'm never going to leave Florida. And he went over to Alabama. What can you say? But see how important it is for us to listen to the voice of God. And like I say, I've missed it so often. I pray to that, and I know God has forgiven me for missing it. Okay. God wants to lead us and wants to use us. Okay. God has been dealing with me about body ministry. God wants us to do, wants us to move in body ministry. If there's a need in this body, God wants to take care of it. So we can go out and minister to a lost and dying world. It's all about this world out there that needs to be saved. East Milton needs to be saved. Well, I had, during this time, the Lord was really dealing me about that. Probably all of you don't know this, but I have arthritis in both my knees, or I had arthritis in both my knees. But anyway, also, I have this pain in my upper leg. So Monday was my 6 months checkup. When you get to a certain age, they want to see you twice a year to make sure you're okay. So I was at my doctor's office and got a good report. Thank you, Jesus. But I told my doctor, I said, I have this terrible arthritis pain. Could you just give me a shot? Just give me a shot in my knee. She says, no, we'll wait it out. When you're in excruciating pain, we'll take care of it. And I said, all right. You know, what can you do? I'm on my knees begging. So anyway, I said, okay, you know, I know she's very strict. So anyway, we had prayer meeting down here Monday night, and we were really having a great time. We were praying for each other. And we had prayed for all the young adults, and then all the young adults were praying for us. And I was down here on the front row, and Bray was praying for me, and she had her hand on my knee, and she was just praying. And I don't even know if she knew I had arthritis, but while she was praying for me, the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm doing a work in your knee. And I said, okay. And didn't think, yeah, it's okay. Thank you, Jesus. But I just said, okay. Well, the next day, I realized I didn't have any arthritis pain in my knee. And I haven't had any pain in my knee since then. Amen. Isn't that near? So in the meantime, I still have this pain here. And I didn't mention it for a couple of days, but I thought, well, if God has healed my knee, maybe he'll just come up a couple of inches and heal my leg, right? And a couple of days after that, it's sort of like the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you're going to have to walk this out by faith. And I said, okay, Lord. But see how God is, you know, so we're called to do these things. We're called to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. We're called to minister to each other. We're called to bless each other because, like I said just a minute ago, there's a lost and dying world out there that needs Jesus. And one of the things it said, Jesus said, signs will follow us. That as we preach the gospel, signs will follow us. Amen. One of the things he says, preach the kingdom, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. So God wants us to do this, but we have to be willing to be open to God to use us. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants us to have a body ministry because it's for us. He wants us whole. He wants us to use us. Amen. So right now, I want us to pray for each other. And if there's anybody that needs prayer, and be open. If you need prayer, you know, if you have to ask 10,000 times, one of those times it's going to click and you're going to get healed. One of those times that because it's God's will. So if there's something that you need to be agreed, we're going to agree with you. We're in one mind right here, right? Amen. We're in the same mind. So, Pastor. So, first of all, does anybody want to share anything about what I've just talked about? Maybe God did something similar to with you and that you would like to share. Because as we give our testimony, it builds up the body. As we share, it builds up each other. So does anybody want to share something that God has done for you that you would just like to share? Just right here.